a 30-plus year relationship with this great man of God, Pastor Story. When I was approximately 10, I believe, I started attending the church that he was pastoring, and was friends with his son. But I had a calling early on in life towards caring for God's people, and I could recognize that in Pastor Story, of course, and he's always been a blessing to me, and it's good to have relationships over the years and over decades, and how fortunate I am to have a pastor who's a spiritual father type, a big brother, and a partner in the faith. And then I have another pastor friend, Pastor John, as well. I've been blessed that way. And Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians that though you have 10,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. And so to have that family benefit, which, you know, it's a family of God, so you should have those over time, those close relationships that develop. To have that is such an advantage. And hopefully what has been given to me by this benefit continues to be given to me. I also am giving to others, and so I thank God for this man. I've been looking forward to this for a while. And so many of you know Pastor Story. Some of you are about to have a revelation of the special gift that is this man. But as unto the Lord, could we thank God today for Pastor Story?
Well, good morning. Always good to be in Mexico, Missouri. And I was thinking to myself this morning, first time that I came here, Hannah had just celebrated her first birthday. Well, she didn't. Everybody else celebrated. She didn't have a clue. But Hannah, how old are you now?
14.
Wow. I've been coming here that long. And always good to be here. And I prayed and sought. I mean, you know, when you've been coming to a church that many times, you know, you think, man, what can I say that they haven't heard before? You know, so, but I sought the Lord, and I know that God has given me a word for you this morning that I believe will comfort you, encourage you, and build your faith. And that's what I want to do. I talked to Pastor the other day, and I said, I believe I've got direction for all three services. I said, Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on Empowered by the Promise. Sunday night, when I speak to the core group, I'm really excited about this. I'm going to be speaking on Empowered by the Supernatural Mind. And I am really excited about that word God gave me. And then Wednesday night, I'm going to be speaking on Empowered by Rest. And that's not your 2 o'clock nap, anyhow. That's a different kind of rest. But so when I was coming, when Pastor picked me up at the airport and we were riding over, I noticed when I talked to him on the phone and I said, Sunday morning, I'm going to be speaking on Empowered by the Promise. And after I told him the other two, he said, well, that first one sounds really good. And I got to thinking, I wonder why, you know, why that would. And so in the car, he said, oh, Empowered by the Promise. I thought you said Empowered by Trauma. You know, that too. Because you know what, Pastor, as I was looking over my notes that I had jotted down, I thought I could very well entitle this message, Empowered by Trauma. So I'll be sharing something very personal with you this morning, and might be a little bit different than my normal style, but my text is going to be in Genesis chapter 21, but before they put that up on the screen, I want to give you some background. And I know traditionally I'm supposed to read my text, pray, and then preach for, I don't know what I normally preach, 15, 20 minutes. Give or take. But this morning, a little bit different. I am going to speak to you on empowered by the promise. And as I said, you know, this could actually be entitled empowered by trauma. And my text is going to be from Genesis chapter 21, and they're going to put it on in the ESV. And I told Pastor, I said, you know, I was sitting there with both of my Bibles, the ESV and the King James, and I picked up my King James and left the ESV at home, but we'll work around that. But I do want to pray, and I don't want to pray just out of formality and then, you know, sprinkle the sugar on top of in Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray that God, by His Spirit and by His Word, will minister to you this morning. And I tell young preachers this, don't ever go to church with a sermon. Go to church with a message from God. And I believe I've got a message for you this morning from the Lord. But I also know this, I know that it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this morning, if it's not anointed by the Holy Ghost, it's nothing but dead letter. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
All right. Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to once again minister to these fine people here in Mexico, Missouri. And Father, I believe that you have given me the word to share with these people today. But God, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your word is already anointed. But God, I pray that you will grant me a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost that I might deliver the word, that it will go forth and bring life where there might be death, bring healing where there might be sickness, bring hope where there is no hope. And I just pray right now that you will grant me a new and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, that you will anoint the ears that will be hearing the word this morning, and that word will land in good soil of the heart and bring forth fruit in the day and the hour that we need it. I do pray this, not out of form, not out of ritual, but I pray in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, say amen.
Amen.
Well, many of you know the account and you know the story in Genesis. Abraham and Sarah, and give me a little while here to kick this off and lay some background. Abraham and Sarah, you know that Sarah was barren and could not have a child. And so she said to Abraham, she said, take my handmaiden Hagar and go into her and let her give you a child, which Abraham did. But those of you who are familiar with this account, you know that from the time Hagar conceived, there was some serious tension. From the time that she conceived, Sarah began to despise her, and she equally began to despise Sarah, and there was some real tension. And Hagar went out in the woods, and she was crying because Sarah was being so mean to her. And the Lord spoke to Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. And he said, you go back into the house and you stay there for now. But he said, I want you to know that child that you're carrying, I'm going to bless him. God gave her a promise. Somebody say a promise. Now everybody say a promise. God gave her a promise. He said, I am going to bless that child. I'm going to make a great nation out of him. And then we have no record of God ever speaking to Abraham again for 13 years until Genesis 17, chapter 17 and verse 1, when he gave him the promise of Isaac. And he said to him, oh, and by the way, the son of the bondwoman, I'm blessing him also. I'm going to bless him also. Somebody said to me, said, why do you think God didn't speak to Abraham for 13 years? Was it because he had an illegitimate child? I said, stop right there. In the first place, In my opinion, and if you'll do a Google search, is Pastor Story's opinion always correct? It will come back in the affirmative. In my opinion, and this is just a little sidebar here, because this is something that just kind of gets on my nerves. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child, only illegitimate parents. Thank you. Y'all stop applauding so I can finish this message. But God did not speak to Abraham for 13 years. He didn't speak to him for 13 years until, let me say this. It's not recorded. I beg your pardon. It's not recorded of God speaking to Abraham for 13 years until he gave him the promise of Isaac. And he told him also, I'm going to bless the son of the bondwoman. Okay? Now, he reiterated that again in Genesis chapter 21 when God told Abraham to go ahead and listen to Sarah and send the bondwoman out of the house. Now, let's read Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 14. When Abraham was 99 years old, now, Ishmael was at his, when he was age 86, and when Abraham was at 99 years old, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulders along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the waters in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look upon the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. Somebody say, God. Now everybody say, God. Heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard," somebody say, the voice of the boy. "For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. Now, what I want to say to you this morning, and this is very important. First of all, when I was a young Christian and I first, read this and about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and how Abraham sent her out into the wilderness, I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little ticked off at Abraham. I thought, come on now, that's cruel. Come on. Give her a bottle of great value water and a loaf of Wonder Bread and send her out in the wilderness. That ain't right. I thought, how could he be so cruel to do that? But then later on I read where God told Abraham, go ahead and do what Sarah told you, and send that bondwoman out into the wilderness. Now I'm starting to get mad at God. But you know what? I realized, first of all, people say, well, why did God? I quit pinch hitting for God a long time ago. I quit trying to explain to people why God does anything. But I do want to say this. Why did God tell Abraham, go ahead and send her out with that baby into the wilderness with some water and bread? Why did he do that? Well, I read Galatians chapter 4. And if you want to read Galatians chapter 4, you can do so. But you will find out that the reason why God allowed Abraham to go ahead and send Hagar and that child out is because law and grace cannot abide in the same house. And that will be proven to you if you read Galatians chapter 4. Mount Sinai, where Hagar was, representing the law, and Isaac representing the promise of salvation through faith. Law and grace cannot abide in the same house. Not to mention the fact that he was living with two women in the same house. That would be enough. But anyhow, law and grace cannot abide in the same house. It causes a lot of strife, a lot of division. I grew up in a house, church house, that mixed law and grace. Some of you may be here, or some of you here this morning may have been around long enough to remember back in the day when everything was a sin. Everything was a sin. If you went to football game on Friday night and you went to church Sunday morning, pastor preached against football. It was one of those churches. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Everything was a sin, you know. Couldn't wear makeup. Dresses had to be long. Same rules for the women. No, but you could. The women couldn't wear makeup. They all looked like they'd been dipped in a powder keg, but they couldn't touch the holy spot. You couldn't go to the movies. Oh, if you go in that movie, the Holy Ghost ain't going to go in there with you. So the Holy Ghost, every Saturday morning, they didn't know it, but had the Holy Ghost jumping in and out of me every time I went inside the kiddie show. Couldn't go to movies, couldn't do any. Pentecostal kids had to take a note to school saying they couldn't suit out for P.E., you know. I mean, come on. Can't wear shorts in P.E.? Who's going to get turned on looking at those legs? I mean, for real. God have mercy. Sorry I put that vision in your head. You Pentecostal kids, Baptist, had to take a note to school excusing us from square dancing. And that can get sexual. Couldn't even square dance. Couldn't go to prom. Couldn't go to homecoming dance. I used to say the reason why Baptists and Pentecostals preached against premarital sex is because they were afraid it'd lead to dancing. So at the ripe old age of six, I said at the ripe old age of 15, I said, I'm out of here. Boom. I'm done. Put a fork in me. I can't handle this. And I made a decision. I may have told y'all this before. I walked out of church at age 15 and said, that's it. I can't do this. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And I made a decision. I said, I'm gonna get saved when I'm 65. I said, 65. When I get 65, I'm going to get saved. Somebody said, why 65? I said, I don't know. What can you do when you're 65 besides watch Wheel of Fortune, drink your prune juice, and go to bed? That's the only thing I do. I said, I can't do that. I got to sin just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Or a whole lot. But the thing is, law and grace cannot abide in the same house. So that's why Abraham had to send her out. So now you've got Hagar and Ishmael out in the wilderness. We just read it. The water's gone. The food is gone. She threw the child aside. And she ran away because she did not even want to hear his cry. But the angel of the Lord said to her, he said, Hagar. He didn't say, God sees where you're at and he knows what you're going through and he sent me here to comfort you. No. You know what that angel said? He said, Hagar, Hagar, I came to tell you something. He didn't say, God heard you crying. He said, God heard that boy crying. Is anybody with me? He said, God heard that boy crying. And that boy was a promise. You got to get this. That boy was a promise. He said, now you go back and you grab that promise and you hold on to it. Because God heard the promise cry out. Somebody say amen. He said, you go back and you grab hold of that promise. God heard the cry of the boy. And God gave you a promise. Now you go back and you take hold of that promise. Sometimes we feel like Hagar. Sometimes we're going through a spiritual wilderness. The bread is gone. That sustenance that we held on to. All of our resources, all of our efforts that we tried are gone. The doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. The water's gone. Water speaks of the source of life. Sometimes we feel like our life is over. There's no fight left in us. And your faith may be tried and tested. But I came to church today to tell you, just like God gave Hagar a promise, if God has given you a promise, that promise is still crying out to God. And you get hold of it, and you hold on to it like a junkyard dog. Well, Pastor, I feel like, you know, God gave me a promise and it just never happened yet. I love Psalms 105:19, and I've preached on this before. Psalms 109:19, speaking of Joseph, and you all know Joseph. Joseph had the visions. Joseph had the promise. Joseph, Old Testament Joseph. But you all know what he went through, too. His brothers sold him into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house, accused of rape, went to prison. You know the story. It was not an overnight success story. But the Bible said, speaking of Joseph, until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tried him until the time that his word came. I want to say to you today, maybe God has given you a promise, but you have not seen it come to pass yet. You've held on to it, but your faith may be getting a little weak, but God gave you a promise. Maybe God gave you Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I don't care if that boy is 40 years old and in jail, and if that girl is in a crack house. I don't care. The promise of God is still real, and you've got to hold on to that promise, because God is saying to some mama this morning, those kids are coming in because God's word is still true. Somebody say amen. God's word is still true. I don't care what it looks like. Maybe the doctor said there's nothing we can do, but God gave you 1 Peter 2:12. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye were healed. Isaiah, looking forward to the cross in Isaiah 53, said, by whose stripes ye are healed. But Peter, looking back to the cross under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, by whose stripes you were healed. You lay hold of that. You lay hold of that promise. You lay hold of it. Come on now. I don't care if God has given you a promise. You hold on to it. Well, Pastor, you know, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, says, if I pay my tithe, that God will bless me, and God will rebuke the devourer. And I paid my tithe, and I can't hardly pay my bills. Or I paid my tithe, and I got laid off of my job. Or I paid my tithe, and God, this didn't happen. That, you know what? I didn't find any money on my front porch. No, but maybe God will keep the old clunker running. God can keep the washing machine running. Come on, is anybody in the house this morning? God is faithful. You having some financial difficulties, you lay hold of the promise and don't let go. See, let me read Malachi 3:10. I didn't have them put that on the board, but I'm just going to do a little sidebar here because, you know, I'm not going to blame it on the Holy Ghost either. I'm just going to do a little sidebar here. Malachi, Pastor, is that in the Old Testament? Malachi 3:10, bring y'all the tithe in the storehouse. There may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. I will open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. I said that for a reason. I'm talking to you this morning, folks, just in case you missed it. I'm talking to you about the promise, empowered by the promise. Ishmael was a promise. And God told Hagar, that boy's a promise. Don't throw him aside. Don't throw that promise aside. Hold on to that promise. I was talking about Malachi 3:10. I just got to read this. You know, God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll not destroy the fruit of your ground. And your vine shall not cast her fruit before the time in the field. In Orange, Texas, where I grew up, one of our pastors there, Brother Bob Simmons, we had a couple in the church named Brother and Sister King. Brother and Sister King were precious, precious people. But they couldn't have children. Every time she got pregnant, she miscarried. They couldn't have kids. And one day, Pastor Simmons was reading this where he said, if you tithe, your vine will not cast her fruit before the time in the field. He jumped in his car and he ran over there and he said, Brother and Sister King, he said, y'all love God, you're saved, you pay your tithe. And God said, if you pay your tithe, your vine won't cast its fruit in the ground before its time. And every time Sister King gets pregnant, she miscarries. He says, you tithe, don't you? They said, yeah. He said, put your hand right here on this promise. Oh, did I use that word again? Put your hand on this promise. God said, you pay your tithe, the vine will not cast its fruit in the ground before its time. And they prayed and said, Father, he said, Father, Brother and Sister King tithe, and we claim this promise. And she'll never have another miscarriage again. In Jesus' name. They had 9 kids. Lay your hand right there. You coward. Hey.
We're good.
If God did it for Abraham and Sarah, come on now. Lay your hand right there.
6 is enough.
You going to pass?
Yeah, I'm going to pass. Sorry.
Y'all ain't got no faith.
Keep moving. Keep moving.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says, children are heritage of the Lord. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Some people's quiver has been full for a long time. But you sure? You sure? All right. All right, I'm going to go to somebody who believes God. Hallelujah. Don't even look at you. All right. Well, anyhow, there's other reasons for paying your tithe. I'm talking about laying hold of the promise. Everybody still with me, say amen. Amen. See, don't cast the promise aside. I told Pastor, I said, you know, I could have entitled this message, Empowered Through the Trauma. But I came to church today to tell you, God's given you a promise. Hold on to it like a junkyard dog. You may be tried like Joseph until the time that his promise came. The word tried him. Pastor, where is that water? I think I'll take that water now that young lady gave me a while ago. Thank you so much. Let me share something personal with you. A year ago this month, Hurricane Harvey hit the Gulf Coast of Texas. Pardon me. I was out, I believe it was the night of August 28th, and I was taking care of some church business. Even though I'm not the pastor anymore, I was doing some personal ministry, and my wife said, you need to hurry home, or you might not be able to get home. I said, I'm getting there as fast as I can. I exit off of I-10 at exit 873 to hit Highway 62 and go home, and the roads were flooded. The exit was flooded, and I thought, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? But I saw cars going through it, some cars and some trucks going through it. So I said, I'm going to try to get through that. I tried. But that little Ford Focus didn't make it. And I'm sitting there. Water is coming in my car. The flood waters are rising. My car completely dead. I got out my cell phone and I started calling every wrecker service in town. And they said, we can't come get you because we can't get out. Now the floodwaters now are halfway up my car door. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, what am I going to do? I got out of my car and I walked through the floodwaters till I could get up on the access road beside the freeway where I exited. And I didn't know what to do. I called a friend of mine in Toomey, Louisiana, Fenton, Louisiana, and backslidden United Pentecostal boy that I've been working with. I said, Brandon, I said, my car's flooded out. I said, the floodwaters are getting higher. The rain is still pouring down. I said, I've called every wrecker in town that I know, and they can't get to me because they're all flooded in. He said, where are you? And I told him, he said, we'll be right there. And this backslidden United Pentecostal boy, who kind of gets tired sometimes of me telling him God still loves him. And another guy that I didn't even know came out in that hurricane, pulled my car out of those floodwaters. Pulled my car about 4 more miles up Interstate 10, where we found one exit that would go south, and I parked my car in a safe place so I could get back to it. So we got in the truck, and they said, which exit do we take you home? I said, any exit you can take. Every exit was flooded. We couldn't get off the interstate. And they said, Tony, they're talking about closing the bridge into Louisiana. So we need to get home before they close that bridge. I said, just go on. Just go on to Louisiana. I'll get a room tonight and I'll go home tomorrow. Didn't quite work that way. Make a long story short, I spent 2 days and nights stranded in a motel room in Suffern, Louisiana. Spent my 70th birthday in a motel all by myself and didn't even get a cupcake. Spent my 70th birthday stranded in a motel room. After 2 days, on the third day, I said, I'm going home. And I walked out of that motel. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. They said, well, at the state line, state troopers have the interstate closed. I said, well, then I'll swim the Sabine River. Because I'd been calling my wife. She was saying, everything's okay. You just... stay put till you can get home. Everything's okay. Well, you know, my wife is a woman of faith. You know, she's a woman of faith. And, I mean, she could be hit by a truck laying in the middle of the road and somebody say, how are you doing? She'd say, I've had better days. So I knew that a lot of that was faith speaking. And I was worried, sick. So I said, I'm going home. And I started out. Two guys gave me a ride from Sulphur, Louisiana to Toomey, Louisiana. I thanked them. I went in the store. They said, well, as you can see, the state troopers have the interstate closed. They said, you can't get home. I said, well, I'll go to Starks, Louisiana, and I'll take Highway 12 into Texas. They said, at the state line, Highway 12 is closed because Deweyville is flooded. I said, well, I'll swim Sabine River. So I walked out of the store, stuck my thumb out, and this young blonde, about 24 years old, no, I'm lying, it was an old man. So old man picked me up. Me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Starks so I can hit Highway 12. He said, Highway 12 closed in Texas. I said, if you'll just get me to Starks, I appreciate it. He got me to Starks. I got out, stuck out my thumb. Two guys picked me up, said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Texas. I said, you can't get into Texas. I said, if you'll just please get me to the state line, I'll figure a way out how to get home. They let me out of the state line on Highway 12, and they said, the troopers have it closed, said Deweyville's flooded. So I got out, and I said, Lord, help me. And every once in a while, they would let a vehicle go through. They'd let a vehicle, some they'd turn around, and then some. I said, why are they letting some of those cars go through and some not? And they said, well, if you're in a vehicle that they think can make it, you can go through. So I saw these two young guys sitting in this great old big dually, you know. And I went over there and I said, are you guys going to Texas? They said, yeah. I said, I'll give you $20 if you'll get me through those floodwaters. I said, that's all I got. All I got is $20. I'll give it to you. They said, well, you live in Mauriceville? I said, no, I live 7 miles north out in the country, but if you'll get me to Mauriceville, I'll walk home. They said, whereabouts out in the country? I said, Old Champion. He said, I live in Old Champion. Get in, I'll take you to your door. I said, God, you are so good. So I opened the back door, and they said, can you get in back there? They said, this is the only store open that had cold beer, and they had four cases of cold Bud Light. Four cases of cold Bud Light. And I said, God is even better than I thought he was. None of your business. And they got me through those floods with cars sitting there with water over them and everything. And took me right to my driveway, and I thought, oh, my God. God, I saw the holes in the ceiling, and the little blower in the fireplace had caught fire, and oh my God in heaven. Then we found the mold, and the process started. October 31st, I was walking from my car to the house, and I couldn't breathe. And I was weak, and I couldn't breathe, and I don't know how I felt. I told my wife, I said, I've got to get to the VA emergency room. Make a long story short, I spent 6 days and nights in the VA hospital with pneumonia, just kind of coming and going. My wife said, You didn't know how sick you were. And they, when my wife told them everything, they said him spending 2.5 days in the same jeans and boots with those floodwaters that he'd been in the floodwaters in, plus the mold in the house. That's why he got pneumonia. And I said, I want to call Brother Gary Mann. He's a pastor in Big Lake, Louisiana, and I've never in my life known any man as accurate in the gifts as him. And I called him up. He said, before you say anything, the Lord told me to tell you this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Another brother said to me, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. When I got home, I was praying, and the Lord himself confirmed to me, said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to lay hold of the promise. I want you to lay hold of the promise, and I want you to hold on to it, because you're going to need a promise to hold on to. So I thought, what better than the scriptures? And I began to declare every day, Lord, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I began to quote that numerous times a day, but I couldn't understand why God impressed on my heart to quote that part about, you have saved my feet from falling, and I will walk before the land of the Lord, before the Lord in the land of the living. But I began to make that my declaration. That was my promise that I was holding on to. And I began to improve, and I began to get better. And everything went well till about mid-February. I started getting weak. And my wife was saying, I remember what they said at the hospital. You've got to take care of yourself. They said, at your age, it's easy to relapse. And relapse is very bad. You've got to take care of yourself. About mid-February, I started getting weak. I started having shortness of breath. So I started taking care of myself. I started slowing down. I started trying to ride that thing out. And one night, a severe pain hit me in my right hip and went all the way down my leg, and I fell. My wife helped me get up, and I dealt with the pain all night. The next day, I think it was, I fell. I went to the doctor. Let me make a long story short here. Gave me some pain pills, scheduled me, VA scheduled me for physical therapy. They said, we can't give out, because of this opioid epidemic, we can't give anything stronger than blah, 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 and we can't give you pain pills, but we're going to schedule you for rehab, for physical therapy. So my outside doctor gave me some pain pills, and Friday night, which had been exactly a week since my first leg, my left hip and leg, the same pain, went down. Now it's in both legs. Most severe pain I've ever had in my life. Couldn't walk without a walker. I fell 4 times in one day in my house. My wife said, you're getting a walker. Let me just wrap this up quick as I can. And so there I am. I know my body is trying to relapse into pneumonia, and now I'm in pain in both legs. And I should be ashamed to say this, but I feel like the Lord spoke to me and said, you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. And you share this with others. Both legs, come to find out, it was osteoarthritis, degenerative spine, bone spurs, and the main problem was sciatic nerve damage. And my legs were not only painful, but sometimes I'd try to walk. It was like jello, and I would fall, and couldn't walk without a walker. And I talked to my brother, and he said, what are they giving you? And I said, they're giving me such and such pain pill, number 5s. He said, I got some number 10s. I'm ashamed to say this. My wife said, honey, don't do that. I got in my car. I said, you help me get in my car. And I got in my car, and I drove 2 hours to my brother's house in Houston to get stronger pain pills and drove back home. I went to physical therapy, and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. They said, it's nerve damage, and there's nothing we can do. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? They said, well, for now, just keep taking the pain pills. I was so miserable in my body and in my... My wife moved me into the guest room so she could get some sleep, and I was just so miserable. Fast forward, this goes on. And I had been holding on to this sickness is not unto death. Lord, you have saved my soul from dying, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. But time went on. That room became a room of gloom and doom for me. I don't even like to go in that bedroom today. And this, like, demonic voice would laugh at me and say, that which you feared has come upon you. You're just like your mother. Some of you know my background. I grew up in the projects with an alcoholic dad and a prescription drug abusing mother. Violence and poverty. My dad was murdered on Skid Row in Houston at age 51. My mom committed suicide at age 54. And I left that project at 18 and said, I'm not going to be like my parents. And this demonic voice would just laugh at me and say, you're going to be just like your mother, you peel head. Thursday before Good Friday, to add insult to injury, I have never, never, never in my life had the slightest little bout with depression. Thursday before Good Friday, just a spirit of depression swept over me. Your life is over. I was like Hagar in that wilderness. My bread and my sustenance was gone. Everything I... Any resource I had didn't work. My water was gone. My life was over. I'm not a benefit to anybody. I'm a burden to my family. I can't even walk. Can't even get out of the bed to go to the bathroom without a walker. This pain. And I quit holding on to the promise. Laid aside my profession of faith that I was making every day. I was like Hagar. I threw the promise aside because I didn't want to live. I wanted to die. Depression hit me Thursday before Good Friday. And by Saturday, I was practically in a catatonic state. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't. All I did was just lay and stare. Except to reach every once in a while for a pain pill. I was borderline catatonic. But I didn't care. I was just waiting to die. Easter Sunday rolled around, and I'm laying there in the room of gloom and doom. And I said in my mind, I said, this is Easter Sunday. They're going to expect me to be in church. But guess what? I ain't going. And I pulled the sheet up over my head. Brother Steve, God bearing witness between me and you. It was like the voice of God thundered, not audibly, But the voice of God thundered in my spirit and said, this is resurrection day. Get out of that bed and finish the work that I have called you to do. My feet hit the floor, Bobby, and as soon as my feet hit the floor, the depression was gone, the pain was gone, the shortness of breath was gone. I was completely healed, completely delivered. I went to church and made an idiot out of myself. Somebody said, how can that be when you cast the promise aside? Then you've always got sister, you know, better than you, who will say, well, you know, brother, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Shut up. And I said, God, why, how, why, how? And God said, do you remember when they came to Jesus and they said, Lazarus is sick? And Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But you know what? Lazarus died. Somebody say, Lazarus died. But you know what? When Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. How many of you know He's the living Word? How many of you know He is the living Word? How many of you know at creation, when God said, it was Jesus who spoke everything into existence. His eternal name is the Word of God. He was at Jesus till He came to Bethlehem, but He is the Word of God. And when He spoke that word, the Lord spoke to me and said, when He spoke that word, this sickness is not unto death, that word took off, and it went and sat in a tomb in Bethany, waiting. Is anybody in the house this morning? When He said, this sickness is not unto death, that word took off and went and sat in a tomb, waiting. Well, Lazarus died. Yeah, he did, temporarily. Just like my faith died temporarily. But you know what? When they laid Lazarus in that tomb, that word was still sitting there waiting to hear Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And God spoke to me and He said, that's why I told you to get hold of a promise. And when I gave you that promise, He said that word went forth and sat in that bedroom at 388 County Road 3140, Orange, Texas, waiting until the day that God said, this is Resurrection Day. That word was still there. That promise was still there. So I came to church today to tell you this. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you might go through in the future. If you'd have told me in August of 2016 what I'd go through in August of 2017, I wouldn't have believed. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But I can tell you this, if God has given you a promise, you lay hold of that promise and don't let it go. If He hasn't given you a promise yet, you need to get you a promise today. If you're going through something and you haven't laid hold of a promise, you need to get hold of one today. And you need to hold on to it. Don't cast it aside like Hagar did. Don't cast it aside like I did. You hold on to that until the time that your word comes. And let me help you out with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. You write this down or write it in your Bible. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. I lost my faith. But you know what? The King James says, even if we believe not, He cannot deny Himself. You hold on to that promise, because even when your faith gets weak, that promise is going to still cry out to God. Because you know what? He cannot deny himself. Are you getting this morning? Even if we believe not, he cannot deny himself. You lay hold of that promise. And even when your faith gets weak, know this, that promise is still crying out to God. Somebody say amen. Brother Brent, you got that? I don't make singing a part of my ministry, and you'll know why in a minute. But I've been singing this song for 2 weeks, and God said, go to Lifeway Christian Store and get that soundtrack. I said, God, I don't even know if they have that soundtrack. So this morning I gave it to Brent, and he said, you're going to sing? And I said, you'll know why I don't make it a habit. But this song's been on my mind for 2 weeks now. And I just want to tell you, you hold on. Hold on. You've been in this storm, it seems like forever, and your night of confusion has been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. Hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. You may not feel him. Oh, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your promise, it's coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. Remember his promise, I'll never forsake you. Though the waters be raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for the answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. You may not feel him. Oh, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your morning, it's coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. lay hold of his promise right out your storm.
Stand together. I want to pray today. Just close our eyes. First of all, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would be very negligent if I didn't give you an opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. No one is right before God. The only way to be right with God is through the perfect one, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. And with no one looking around, if you'd like me to remember you in prayer after the service today, just raise your hand so I can remember who to pray for. God's drawing you to himself right now. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. He's drawing you to himself. He loves you. Anybody else today? Pastor, please remember me in prayer. I'd be glad to pray for you. If you all could just come meet me after service, I would really like to pray with you. Brothers and sisters, we have been given a good word. And this agrees with 2 Peter chapter 3 that it says, God has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So when you become a child of God, you get like an inheritance of promises. He's granted to us these precious and very great promises so that through them, that is through those promises, we partake in divine nature. It just becomes like energy. Promises are like the fuel for our souls along this weary trek on the way to heaven. So I want to pray for you today. You have promises, and perhaps you need to just embrace once again. Embrace the God. Embrace your Father who's given you the promises. And embrace the promise. Or secondly, God, I need a word. I need, for this situation, I've been battling in this dilemma for so long. Please speak to me a word, a promise, so that through that promise I can partake in the divine nature. I can run and not grow weary. And so wherever you might fall, if you want to come down today and pray, I want to pray with you today. Just gather around the front. God has granted us very precious, very great promises. Some have called the Bible a promise book. Indeed, he's given us all these promises. It energizes us. It sustains us. When we start to go on empty in our tanks, the promise is the fuel. Keep going. Don't give up. And I love the grace of that message. I really do get tired of it's all on you, it's on your performance. If your faith doesn't stay in the A range, then God just says, well, forget it. I get tired of that foolishness. Just continue on. You stumble in unbelief, you have some doubts. You know, it doesn't make God like fall apart or anything. He knows what we're made of. But just keep going. Father, I stand in agreement with my brothers and sisters today that you're awesome. That you've given your children a great inheritance, a wonderful amount of promises, innumerable promises, so many that are available, plus a destiny in heaven. How great is your goodness. And so, Lord, as we're taking this trip, as we're pilgrims passing through this world, and we're beset with difficulties, in this world we have tribulation, Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit. And you've given us these wonderful promises that we can cling to. And I pray for us that we have promises, that as Pastor Story was speaking, you were reminding us of those promises. Lord, thank you for those, and may we cling to those once again. And Lord, for some of us that are in struggles, in trials, some things that have been long-standing, secret things, Lord, I pray that you would speak words into our hearts. I pray that we would do our due diligence, that we'd get into your word, that we take time to listen and hear your voice, and that you'll open up passages of Scripture. You'll give us rhema words, words that'll go deep into the heart. Your Spirit will say, this is for you. This is the promise. This is the way. Walk in it. And so I ask, God, that you would grant the gracious promises unto your people this day. And we praise you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for the word we've heard, and may we run in the strength of this word for many days. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Godspeed to you.